How are you guys doing? Good to see you this morning. Hey, how you doing, Bob? What's up there? Hey, Jeff. How you doing, man? Good to see you this morning. Doing all right? Oh, don't mind this. No problem. I got it. Hey, guys, how are you? You guys doing fun? You having a good day? Hey, are you having a good day? I like your glasses, man. They're cool. How you doing, man? You doing good? Man, hey, don't help me, really. It's okay. I got it. Hey, keep your seat, Mike. No problem. I got it. Nope. Sorry about that. Burdens. You guys came in here with them today. And you acted somewhat like that as you came in, didn't you? How's life? Well, that's great. Everything's going good. Everything's cool, man. Everything is wonderful. My life couldn't be better. My mom died 3.5 weeks ago. Everything's fine. I'm really okay. I reached for the phone to call my mom. Can't call her anymore. Everything's fine. It's good. It's into school. My child's leaving, going to college for the very first time next year. How you doing? I'm great. It's Sunday, right? Keep up the illusion. It's all right. My burdens that I'm bringing in, no big deal. I can handle them on my own. Special needs child, 24/7, may live with me the rest of my life. How you doing? I'm great. I'm fine. No problems whatsoever. Argued with my wife this morning. Struggled to get the kids ready. Yelled at them in the car all the way here. I'm fine. No problem. I've got it. Anybody say, that's me? Okay. We all have burdens in the room this morning. Every single one of us have them. I live mine out a little bit like this sometimes. Kind of like this do-it-yourself type of project. You even get it, you catch it in the do-it-yourself project. The whole wonder of going to Lowe's and Home Depot and buying everything. We do something like this every spring. We host Easter at my house for all my wife's family. Let's choose the only one who's a pastor that Easter is kind of a big day, and let's all go to his house. All 75 of her family, let's all go to his house. What a great idea that is. So every spring we do some huge project to get ready for Jennifer's family to all come over Easter at our house. It's such a blessed day. I love it. A few years ago, we decided we'd do a little project. We had an iron ornamental gate put in. Oh, it was beautiful till my trampoline hit it in a windstorm, but it was beautiful. Really was. But I had a wooden fence behind it. It was held up by 4 posts, 3 of which had already rotted. It was no big deal. I can handle it myself, right, guys? Yeah. Big time project, right? I can do it. Do it myself. Lowe's tells me I can do it myself. I can do it myself. So all the posts are basically down except for this one. So all the other posts have broken, I decided I would push against this one and really push hard with all my girth and great strength, and surely it would break off and then I could pull it out of the ground too, right? Didn't happen. So I thought, well, it's stable. So it's stable enough now for me to rock on it a little bit and to allow it to come get loose in the ground for me to pull it up. And I go to pull on it and it snaps. Right into my face, it snaps. Did I mention the day before Easter Sunday, when I've got to be on my game on Sunday and not have any problems, it snaps. My daughter's swinging in the backyard. I stumble. I go to the ground. Allison comes over and says, in all her great wisdom, who's a black and white person, Dad, are you okay? To which I say, I don't think so. I'm seeing like 4 or 5 of you, Allison, at this particular point in time. I said, Allison, is there blood? She goes, yeah. I said, go get your mother, okay? And I'm not going to tell you any more of the story. I didn't get a lot of sympathy after that either. But I came to church on Sunday with no problems, but a big old third eye coming right out of my forehead. And every person that comes up to me, as if I'm not a big enough target already, what's that? I'm bearing my burdens. I'm okay. Really, I'm just fine. You see, this is what Paul was dealing with when he talked with a church in Galatia. Now, Galatia was a really interesting place because it was a place in Asia Minor where Paul had actually begun the church there. But yet this church was interesting because it was full of a lot of people that are a lot like all of us who are sitting here today. There were two particular warring groups in this church who caused a lot of dissension with one another. One of them thought that Christ was not enough for us to have salvation, that they needed to reobserve all the things that the Jewish law said they had to do. Let me equate it to Northwood terms. They had to be at church every Sunday, or else they were a little lower class. They had to be involved in every ministry and do everything and act a certain way and walk into church just like they had no problems whatsoever. And they had to put on the weekly Sunday show. That's what these people believed. That Jesus was not enough, but that you had to live to a certain high standard and not let anybody know that you had any issues, any problems, any, shall we say the word, sin. That's the way they were. The other group was a group who said, hey, it's really all about me. This would be equated a little bit like this, as a friend of mine shared yesterday. As you drive into the Northwood parking lot and our parking attendants are there volunteering their time, you nearly run over them to try to get your space. You run right past them because to you, church is really all about you, and you need to get to your space and your seat because you're coming here for your message so your kids can be ministered to and you can have a break. That was the other group in the Galatian church. A lot like everybody that is right here, including myself. That's the group that Paul is talking to in Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to turn there if you would, because I want us to see a couple of things from this particular passage. The context of this is coming out of Galatians chapter 5. You probably would recognize it. Paul talked a little bit about exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, against, and faithfulness. I missed that one, sorry. Against such things there is no law. That is the context within which Paul sets this up. And he says, folks, you and I are supposed to live by the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. But as we do so, what in the world does that really look like? And then he goes into Galatians 6. And he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression. Now, in the Greek language, that is what we call a future probable situation. In other words, if anyone is caught, and guess what? More than likely, you're going to be caught up in sin. What kind of sin is he talking about? Go back to chapter 5. That's what he's dealing with. Let me read them for you. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Oh, that's a biggie. Wow. Impurity. Sensuality. Oh, hey. Idolatry. Sorcery. Woo. Enmity. Oh, now it's getting a little more personal. Strife. Ow. Jealousy. Fits of anger on the way to church or not. Rivalries. Dissensions. Divisions. Envy. I want what those people in Southlake have. Drunkenness. Orgies. And then if I miss any, and things like these. See, Paul just mentioned the works of the flesh. And here these people are saying, you shouldn't have any of these in your life. And Paul says, guess what? You do. And this is a future probable. If anyone is caught up in any transgression, and more than likely you will be, then what's supposed to happen? You who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You who are spiritual. Well, everybody in the room just went, oh, I can check out. That's not me. No, it is you. Because what has Paul just said? We are all, take a look around the room. We are all to live and walk in the Spirit. That's the normal Christian life. And so you who are spiritual are, guess what? Every single one of you who called Jesus Christ your Savior, you are the spiritual ones that he's talking about. So if any of us are caught up in any transgression, and guess what, we will be, then we who are spiritual, each other, in a spirit of gentleness, should restore him. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And then what we're really focusing in on today, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. And then it seems like he contradicts himself, because he says, bear one another's burdens and help each other out. But then he says, for each one will have to bear his own load. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Bear one another's burdens, but each one of you has to bear your stuff on your own. The difference is there's two different Greek words that are used. The first one is baros, and it means this weight. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves this morning is, what in the world is a burden? What is a burden? And here's a working definition we're going to work off of this morning. A burden is anything that weighs down the joy of our faith in Christ. Anything that weighs down the joy of our faith in Christ. Now, I know you can read that and not let it sink in, and it'll go way over your head, so just look at it on the screen. Anything that weighs you down from the joy of your faith in Christ. It could be internal things. That act of unforgiveness. That person that you just kind of dislike, that you see every Sunday at church. Your choice of not forgiving that person. Your choice of any of those internal sins that were just mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. That is a weight that weighs down on the joy of faith that you could be living, but you're not experiencing it right now. Anything that is internal, any small sin, any struggle that you have, that's an internal weight. Or it could be external. Something that's totally outside of the realm of really what Paul is talking about, because he's talking about those internal sins that are in our life that we need to recognize in each other's life and talk to one another about them. But it also covers the external things, things that are beyond your control and my control. I could not control losing my mom. She was my biggest cheerleader. She was a person that was always behind me, no matter what, no matter how I did, no matter whether this sermon was good or bad, my mom loved me anyway. And that was outside of my control. And see, the reason that that is an external burden is because it could cause me to look at God at a totally inaccurate way. It could cause me to look at God and say, God, why me? Why did this happen to me? It's an external burden, something I couldn't control that I have to live with. And each one of us have them. So we've got burdens today. Things that weigh down the joy of our faith, that if we didn't have them in our lives, we could shrug them off and run with total abandon, as Bob talked about the first Sunday of this year. Then we come to the question, what do I do with my burdens? What do I do with my burdens? Now, quickly, I want to deal with a couple of things. Because I want to get us to the point today where we can lay some burdens down today. So bear with me bear with me as we go through these things. And I encourage you to write these things down. Here are some practical things. What do I do with my burdens? Well, first of all, you can ignore that you have them. keep up the illusion, as we've already talked about. But that's not the way the Christian life is supposed to be lived. You're not supposed to keep up any illusions. You're supposed to be able to live your faith out in the workplace, in your homes, just like you live it out, hopefully, with integrity on the weekend. So you can ignore them. Second thing you can do, you can focus on somebody else's burdens and struggles so that the attention on your own is deflected. Pharisees were really, really good about that. And I think if Jesus were here today, he'd call all of us, most of us, or at least some of us, Pharisaical. Because they said things like this in Matthew 23, 4. They tie up, talking about the Pharisees, heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move their finger. You see, you can deflect by focusing on somebody else's pet sin and not looking deeply in your own life. And that is quick to happen, but still, Paul calls us to hold each other accountable and to work in each other's life. We'll come back to that. But you could focus on other people's struggles and pay attention and act like you don't have them. The third thing you could do is lay your burdens down at the feet of Christ. You could choose to do that. Lay your burdens down. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. You see, all of us have this sin problem. It's evident. It's evident on our faces. It's evident as we walk in, as we walk out. But some of us have given our lives over to Christ, and so it's no longer our sin problem, it's his. But some of you came in today bearing your own sin problem. And the tragedy of that is that if you don't get rid of that and give it over to Christ today for the very first time, then you will spend an eternity away from God. That's no light little thing. Some of us, for the very first time, need to admit that we've got a sin problem and give it over to Christ and say, Christ, I want you to be Lord of my life. Others of us need to lay those things at the foot of the cross. Anything that weighs us down, that keeps us from experiencing the joy of our salvation, we need to lay them down in front of Christ to say, I want to give this to you. You could lay them down and cast all your anxieties on Christ. Why? Because he cares for you. So what do we do with my own burdens? The second thing we want to cover today is, what do I do with other people's burdens? It's a big question. What do I do with somebody else's burdens? In Galatians, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, I told you that one of the issues in this particular church was that some of these Jewish now believers wanted to cast and make everyone else live through the law. So it's real interesting that after arguing with these folks for five chapters, Paul now says that if you bear one another's burdens, you actually fulfill a higher law, the law of Jesus Christ. We find that back in chapter 5, verse 14, and he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you bear one another's burdens? What do you do with other people's burdens? You love them through them. You love other people. You bear up these burdens. Isn't it interesting that the only time that Jesus ever mentions our quote-unquote self-esteem and how much we're supposed to love me some me is as a gauge to how we love other people. It's only a gauge of how we are to love other people. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So here's how we do that. If it's sin in somebody else's life, we need to recognize it. We need to ask them about it. We need to confront them with love. We need to walk with them through that, but be cautious. Does that mean you shouldn't do it? Absolutely not. We need to do that. We need to confront sin when we see it in another believer's life. I need you to do that in my life. And some of you, over the many years, have been loving enough of me to do that. To say, hey, this doesn't seem to line up with Christ. What do you think about this? We need to love each other, but be careful when you do that, because the greatest warning that Paul gives in this passage two different times is to be watchful of yourself. Just like in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own?" Those words ring true of what Jesus says, but does he say, don't recognize sin in other people's lives? No. He said, when you see it, make sure that you're always introspecting and looking at yourself first. How does Paul say it in this passage? He says, be watchful in verse 1. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. You see, the danger is that when I come in Mike Reed's life and I say, hey, Mike, this doesn't seem to line up with Christ, and then I walk away, the danger is that I well up with pride and go, ha, did you see what I saw in Mike's life? I really like that. Yeah, that was really cool that I could be able to do that. And what's instantly happened? Pride in my life. So when I see it in other people's lives, if I don't watch out, I immediately slip in to sin myself. So the whole idea is that we are watchful in other people's lives. We share with them, but we do the same in our lives as well. Verse 3 and 4, he says, if anyone thinks he is something, he is nothing. He deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and for this reason to boast, it will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So if it's internal, talk to people about it. Share with them as iron sharpens iron, but be cautious. If it's external, if it's one of those things that are outside of our control, then what do we need to do? Listen. Love. And be very slow to share advice and very slow to say, I know exactly where you're at. I've been there too. Because you haven't. You haven't been right where that person is. So love them, care for them, but listen to other people's burdens when it's external. The next thing we do, we point to Christ, who is the healer. Our Stevens ministers understand this. They're trained highly in this, to point them to Christ, who is the actual healer. I tell this to our coaches of our teams all the time. Have you ever seen a shepherd out in a field with the sheep down on the ground, with its head down, grabbing grass and shoving it into its mouth? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a shepherd do that? No. What does a shepherd do? Hey, sheep, come on. Come on. Greener grass over here. Come on over here. Here you go. A shepherd leads sheep to where they can feed themselves. Christ is the healer, not you. Don't take it all on your shoulders. And that's the next thing. Do not carry it all yourself. Seek out a community of people to carry those burdens with you. Seek them out. I've learned my lesson in my do-it-yourself projects. Guess what? My neighbor and I are building my fence together now. It's a 2-3 person project now. It is a community. And then finally, don't rescue people from every situation. Jesus didn't do it. Parents, don't rescue your kids all the time. When someone who is that squeaky wheel, that extra grace required person in your life that's always coming back, you're not there to rescue them every time. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've kept the whole law. He said, go and sell all your possessions. Come and follow me. And it says, and he went away sorrowful. Jesus didn't fix everybody's problem. Matter of fact, the stories that we have in the New Testament are mainly stories in which Jesus did heal people. But guess what? There's a lot of stories. He didn't heal every person in Israel that he came upon. We don't have those stories. Jesus did what he was called to do. And that's all you and I can do as well. You cannot rescue every person. It's not your job. But be in community. Final question I want to ask is, how do I allow myself to bear my burdens within community? How do I allow Christ to bear my, how do I allow Christ to bear my burdens within community? How do I do that? First way is we need to be connected to people who are spiritual. And who are people who are spiritual? Anyone who has a walk with Jesus Christ. Be connected with them. Let me show you how that's done in my life. Told you what I walked through just this past month. Here's what my community gave to me. There's card after card after card. At 5 a.m. this morning, I read every single one of them again because you're my community. My external burden that I'm walking through right now, you walk through it with me. These mean something to me. If you took the time to share it, if you took the time to go to my mom's funeral, as a few of you did and the rest of you couldn't, if you took time to pray, you are my community. You bore my burden with me. Thank you. Some of you don't have a spiritual community to do that in. If something happened to you, nobody would know. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily weighs us down. And let us run with the race of endurance, the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd like for right now, for any of our coaches of teams, would you just stand up around the room? If you're one of our adult team coaches, would you stand up? A lot of them are wearing these blue t-shirts today. Yeah, you could clap for them. Folks, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and these are just some of those leaders. Did I tell you to sit down, stand back up? You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. If you're not connected, if you don't have a place, folks, if you walk out of here, these are some of the people you can seek out. You can have a place where people bear your burdens with you. Seek it out. Now you can sit down. Once you're connected, be transparent. Why would you not be? If you can't be transparent with a few people who also love Christ, then you need to find some other place where you can, because that is a necessity to walk in the family of God. Be transparent and foster transparency with others. And then once we lay our burdens down, it's not just so that we can go, hey, cool, I'm burden free today. I have no more burdens. Isn't that great? I've laid all my burdens down at other people's feet, at the feet of Jesus. Now I'm done. Nothing else to do. No. We lay our burdens down so that we can take up the burdens of others. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort others with the same comfort that we have been comforted with by God. If you lay down your burdens today, you don't do it just to head out of here and do something on your own. You do it in order to be able to bear other people's burdens. This is a yoke. It's an oxen yoke. If you've been to Vietnam, you see a lot of these. A yoke was for one reason. It was to put two animals in to plow a field to do something with. But the way that it was done was an older, experienced animal would be on the one side and a younger animal who didn't know the field would be on the other. And the bigger animal would carry the load and would teach the younger. And today we are yoked up with Jesus Christ. And he says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Why? Because I'm carrying the load, and yours is light. because I will carry it with you. Jesus says today, I've got your yoke. When you walk in other people's lives, I'll bear your burden. Folks, I want us to respond today, and our musicians are going to come, and here's the response time. We've left time to do this today. I see a lot of burdened people here today. I'm one of you. I've got them. Some of you need to lay down the burden of sin for the very first time. Our folks at the crosses would like to talk with you and walk you through that process, that you need to accept Christ and accept his yoke. Others of you need to bear your burdens out today. And I'm going to encourage you to do that in a very physical way. Right here are two buckets of rocks. In the back, on the either side of the camera, there's buckets of rocks. As you listen to this song today, I hope you'll get out of your seat and go and pick up one of these rocks. Kneel and pray and spend some time giving that over to God. And then just lay it down on the altar, at the cross, wherever you'd like to. Some of you need to do it in community. You may need to put that rock in your pocket. And in your team that you already are a part of, you need to lay that burden down. I'm doing it today. Listen, but get up